welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the cold winter day of free speech because it's cold out there, and we're headed into winter. Will our free speech survive? Well, tell you what, send us some badly needed fundage. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage, keep free speech, not just alive, but keep it warm, keep it warm. Okay, today we have Mark Collett on as our Monday show. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Mark, not very warm, Collett, because it's -2 out there and it's snowing.
It's snowing, yeah. And
but send Mark Collett the blanket of free speech to keep him warm. That would be like one of your intros, wouldn't it? The blanket of free speech.
Blanket of free speech, that's right. But Rishi Sunak, doesn't he have warm-up sensors for you? Doesn't that make you feel good?
Well, this is interesting, because I've seen this all around the area of my live, where I live. They're not calling it warm-up centres. They're calling them warm spaces. And I see this all over. So I see, you know, this is a designated warm space. So somewhere will be a designated warm space. That's usually a community centre, a library, a drop-in centre, you know, some kind of warm-up, some kind of place where you can go and warm up because the heating's on. The heating has to be on because it's a, you know, it's a public space, and you can go there. You can, you know, pay for a cup of tea, read a book. You know, some of these places you can take your devices in there and charge them. So, you know, you can go in there. You can plug in your phone, plug in your Nintendo Switch, and you can sit there. You know, in warmth, you can sit there. Warm and cozy and, you know, relatively happier than you would have been at home. And obviously these places, they are warm. They're places where you're not having to pay for it to be warm, which is a key thing, because the price of heating people's homes is now astronomical. So yeah, on the surface you might think, well, this is a good thing, you know. People can go places, they can stay warm, they can charge their phones, they might be able to socialise. What's the problem here? Well, the problem here, fundamentally, is that, you know, overwhelmingly, we shouldn't be facing this. The fact is, this is also only a very, very, very temporary solution as well. Because these warm spaces, as they're calling them, are only open through the day. So great, you know, you might be able to go there from, say, 8:30 till 5:30. But what happens after that? What happens at the coldest point? What happens when you go home? Well, you go home to a cold house. You go home to a house where people aren't being able to heat their homes. So they've got black mold growing up the walls.
Black mold's no good.
Black mold is very dangerous, and we've actually had a case where, you know, children in Britain have died because of their houses have been so infested with black mold, they've ended up with lung infections. And this is, you know, these sound like Victorian style, you know, horror stories. And for those who know what I mean when I say Victorian style horror stories, you know, it's these sort of Oliver Twist style stories of people who, you know, are living in, you know, horrible, horrible conditions, people who can't heat their homes, people who, you know, have no money to put food on the table, and they're going home at night and families are huddling together under sheets or blankets and trying to keep warm. And, you know, they're basically scavenging, you know, coal dust just to keep a fire going for a few minutes longer, you know, and they're desperate. And that's sort of your Victorian, you know, poverty kind of story. And these Victorian poverty stories, they are very much ingrained in the British psyche. And we seem to be going back to that. And these aren't people that are necessarily deadbeats or people that have dropped out of society. This isn't just the homeless who are experiencing that. You speak to normal people, and normal people will tell you that is what they're going through. Normal people say that these are the, you know, the horrors that they are facing. And that's awful, isn't it? That people who work a full-time job, that people who are law-abiding, decent, tax-paying people are all of a sudden in a position where when they have a day off work, they need to go to a warm space. When they go home to their house, they have to decide what parts of their home they're going to heat. And some of these people are living in, you know, homes where there's black mold growing up the wall because the house isn't heated properly. And obviously, you have to ask why this is taking place. And it's largely because the government stance on Russia is such that the government has cut off, you know, cheap energy.
Mm-hmm. So obviously this anti-Russia project was hatched in the State Department. I'm pretty sure it was hatched in probably 2014, 2015. And it was put on hold during the 4 years that Victoria Nuland and company were out of power, as Trump was in for 4 years. But they came back. The exact same people came back. And, you know, the idea is more and more people are saying this, too. More and more people have been agreeing with what I said all along, that the strategy was to to provoke Russia into an invasion, use the invasion to justify crippling economic sanctions, and then the crippling economic sanctions would lead to an overthrow of Putin and the Russian government. And, you know, that seems to be the plan. It's, so far, it doesn't seem to be working, but that seems to be what the plan was. Where was I going with this?
Well, the plan is about as good as punching yourself in the nose. Well, I think that's where you were going.
Well, where I was going with it is, even though it was hatched in the United States, the British government has really played a very, very important role. And, you know, one is that I don't know who it was exactly that blew up the Nord Stream pipeline that otherwise would be bringing much needed energy to Western Europe. And then, but, you know, there's talk that it was actually that the British were very much involved in that. Perhaps it was the British who carried it out. I don't know. But then the other is Boris Johnson having gone back in March when the Zelensky government seemed willing to make some concessions to Russia at peace talks in Turkey, that Boris Johnson went and said, no, you got to fight. Got to keep fighting, keep it going. So, it, you know, and in terms of rhetoric, of course, Johnson, Liz Truss, not just as prime minister, but as even more so as foreign minister, they've all been on board with this project. And so it's very, very sad that it is the British government. They're not just caught up in what's going on. They're not just innocent victims in what's going on in world politics, but second to the United States, they would probably be, more responsible for it than anyone else. With, I don't know, the German government's also got a big share of responsibility. To what extent is this causing animosity towards the British government? Are people willing to go along with it because they want to stick it to Putin, or are they just sick of it?
Well, the British people are an interesting people. And I don't think the British people want to go along with this. And I don't think there's really any desire from normal people to stick it to Putin. I think that's nonsense that's been largely engineered by the press and the media. Normal people don't really care about Putin. They care about having a nice Christmas. They care about heating their homes. They care about looking after their children. They care about being able to afford Christmas presents, being able to, you know, put a turkey on the table. But the press here in the UK keeps running these really tone-deaf articles, sort of, how frugal Brits can get through Christmas. Substitute a chicken for a turkey. Charge the guests that come and stay at your house over the Christmas period. I mean, imagine that. Imagine saying to the guests who are coming over for Christmas dinner, there's going to be a 15 quid charge to eat here. I mean, These suggestions are shameless, but they're insultingly shameless. They're so terrible that you have to almost sort of congratulate the press in a way for daring to come up with this, for daring to actually even say these things. You know, imagine saying to normal British people, hey guys, you can't have a turkey for Christmas, and if you invite guests over, you should consider charging them. And saying that with a straight face. And you're saying that to try to alleviate anger that is rightfully aimed at politicians who, quite frankly, don't care, don't give a toss. You know, the politicians that are in charge absolutely are not bothered. One thing that we hear a lot is, you know, is politicians don't care. Politicians are detached from reality and they don't care. But they usually care about one thing. They usually fundamentally do care about their own well-being, about their income, about getting re-elected. And what you're actually seeing here is really interesting, because all indicators point to the politicians, the Conservative Party, the politicians who are actually in charge, getting a lower and lower, confidence rating, a lower and lower approval rating. And more people are saying, we can't live like this. We can't, you know, we can't exist in this state. But despite all of that, these politicians are forging ahead with these policies. These politicians are forging ahead with this, you are going to struggle this winter because we need to stick it to Putin. And I find this really, really interesting, because we seem to have reached a point where those in charge are now just because they've always thumbed their nose at us to a degree. They've always ignored us to a degree. But they have always sort of had this, veneer of caring. They've always painted on this look that they do actually care, that they are actually trying to do something, that, you know, they are listening, that they are, you know, they are hearing our concerns. So at one point, your politicians would talk about, you know, the potential for new immigration laws, the potential for, harsh new restrictions on mass immigration, or potentially situations where, people may actually be shipped back if they're criminals. But they're just sort of dropping this now. They're dropping all of that. You know, the other day they announced that they won't be turning any boats back that try to illegally enter Britain, because apparently that tough stance just doesn't work. That tough stance doesn't work. So that's like saying stopping immigrants coming in doesn't lower immigration. Well, of course it does. That's just sort of Orwellian doublespeak. And this is what we're getting with the Putin thing now. It's not that they're saying, look, we understand you're cold, the strikes, the trains aren't running, mail isn't going to be getting there this Christmas, there's black mould growing up the walls, children are dying of diseases that previously, you know, would just be a case of take a day off school and get some antibiotics, but they're dying. The politicians don't care. They're just saying, this is what we want to do, this is what needs to be done. We're in charge. You listen to us. You're the children. We're the teachers. We're in charge. This is how it works. And I think it's always been the case that the public have been treated in that way. But there's always been that facade that there is democracy, that people do get listened to, you know, that there is a system where people can feed back their opinions to politicians, and politicians will at the very, very least, at least parrot some of those things back to the public to make the public feel better. But that's not what's happening, is it? it's just so blatantly case that politicians don't care. They know what they're committed to, and they're more committed to appeasing the Judeo-American system. They're more committed to doing what they have to do to force the Judeo-American way upon Eastern Europe, Ukraine, sticking it in Russia's eye, than they are to the well-being of the British people. So every year we have a system of recording what are known as excess winter deaths. And it's only the 12th of December, but it's -2 out at the moment. There's snow on the ground in multiple parts of Britain. People can't afford to heat their homes. And this is just the beginning. And if it carries on being as cold as it is, we're going to see some serious, serious problems. We're going to see some deaths. We're going to potentially see a lot of deaths. And this isn't going to be something that we can just wish away. It's not going to be something we can just wave away. This is going to be a situation where people genuinely suffer. And they're not suffering for something that could be easily justified. They're not suffering for a situation where, let's just take, for example, there's been an invasion of a British colony, and we need to reroute our resources to fight off that invasion. So it's a genuine British interest. People aren't suffering for something like that. They're suffering from a country that means very little, if not nothing, to the average British person. But we will be suffering for it. And this is very, very much on a lot of people's minds. But the politicians are saying it's a done deal. That's how it's going to be. There's nothing you guys can do. We have to do this. And some of the press are even rallying around this and saying, this will be great. Put that blanket round your legs. You're doing it to put it in Putin's eye. But I think what's very tone deaf about this is how many Christmases did we have that were COVID Christmases? How many Christmases did we have that were blighted by the fact we couldn't see our friends, we couldn't see our families? And now, fundamentally, we're in a situation where we're going to have another Christmas, which is another disaster. Again, it's the work of the politicians. It's basically something that people don't have any control over. And it's another terrible Christmas. But this time, rather than being stuck at home and isolated, which is bad enough, as people were through COVID, they're potentially going to be stuck at home, freezing with black mold growing up the wall, not being able to afford to do anything, not being actually able to go out because they just can't afford it. And you start to wonder how long can these different rolling catastrophes continue, and how long will the people take? Will the people just die quietly, or will they do something about it?
Yeah, I mean, we've had now, well, as of next month, I suppose, 3 solid years of nonstop crises. And if you're talking about the United States, you have to say that also during that period, you had the black riots and you've had fake elections. But nonstop crises. And it's not as if the years immediately prior were so great. They weren't any kind of golden era. But yeah, things are really, really bad.
Thank you. Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Elections, but you know, nonstop crises, and it's not as if the, the years immediately prior were so great. They weren't any kind of golden era, but yeah, things are really, really bad. And I'd imagine that they're really, really bad on the continent as well. A lot of these countries, you know, well, all the countries can get cold, and places like Poland can get very cold. Are you hearing anything about, massive, what do you call it, discontent, in various countries in the continent?
I think Germany is the country where you're seeing the most of that. I think there's genuine discontent in Germany, because Germany is, again, a place where it gets very, very cold. Germany is one of those countries where, you know, East Germany, over winter, is very, very inhospitable. And I know this to be true, because I know a guy who backpacks around places, and he's one of those people that, for better or for worse, doesn't take any advice from people. So if you say to somebody, well, you might need to prepare for this, you know, it's cold over there. You know, he's one of those guys that'll tell you, sort of laugh in your face and be like, well, I'll put on an extra jumper. And he decided that he was going to sort of trek across Germany at this time of year and, you know, sleep in his tent and do the old, Christmas markets across Germany. He got into East Germany, and there was a couple of cold nights, and he literally thought he was going to freeze to death and die, because it is that cold. You know, it really is. And we're not talking here about a little bit cold. We're talking about seriously, you know, we do things in Celsius, but, you know, seriously into the minuses. And unfortunately, in places like Germany, there's going to be a lot of people suffer. And you've got to remember, this is going to be a big culture shock to people as well. Now, when my dad was young, kids were told, if they were cold, go and put an extra jumper on. Have you got your thermal vest on? Right, huddle round the fireplace. We're going to put a couple of coals on the fire. You know, that's what people were told. You know, people were told, you know, if you don't eat anything on everything on your plate, there's not going to be anything else. You'll be hungry until breakfast. So you ate what was on the plate, you put on a woolly jumper, and you sat in front of the fire and got the most out of it while there was coal there to put on it. That's how people lived. But my dad's now in his mid-70s, so there's probably, you know, 60, 70 years there where things have got progressively easier, to a point where now people expect to be sat at home in their shorts and t-shirt in the dead of winter with the central heating on, you know, snacking on anything they wish and living the good life. That is what people expect. And because of that, you've got another added sort of problem thrown into the mix. And this added problem is people are softer. And I don't mean that to sound nasty, but it's true. People are softer than they've ever been. And because they're softer than they've ever been, when things bite, they're going to bite harder. It's gonna be tougher. It's gonna be difficult for people like it has never been difficult for people before. So there's people like myself who are in their 40s that have never lived through that. You've got two coals on the fire and when they're gone, you better be wearing your two woolly jumpers. And there's people younger than me that wouldn't even know what a coal fire is. I do know what a coal fire is, because my grandparents had one. But there's people living in Britain who've never known anything but bang on the central heating and sit there in your shorts as, you know, you choose from a huge range of foods that you're going to eat and sit there comfortably sweating in winter. And when things get bad for those people, they're not going to be the kind of people that can get through this. And I worry that there's going to be a lot of decent people impacted, a lot of people hurt, potentially a huge number of excess winter deaths. For what? And none of it's going to hurt Putin. Because I'll tell you something. Even if these restrictions and sanctions had any effect on Russia, which they're not, because India have bought every last bit of gas and oil that Putin would have sold to the West. So this doesn't make any difference to him. But if it was making a difference, even if the sanctions were biting in Russia, which they're not, what would that actually mean? Probably very little. And why do I say probably very little? Because the Russians are tough people. The Russians live through tough times. They've lived through tough times before. They'd be the ones that would survive. They'd be the ones that would understand how to get through a period like this. But I think people in the West have had it so good for so long that they are going to struggle. And their struggle may well lead, sadly, to many of them.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
But I think people in the West have had it so good for so long that they are going to struggle. And their struggle may well lead, sadly, to many of them dying. And I'll tell you something else that's going to compound this, and I made a video about this last weekend. It's not been the most hugely viewed of all my videos. I think it's sort of, I'm not sure if people still are interested in COVID, but I did a video about the about COVID, because we just found out in this country that the knock-on effects of the lockdowns are that hundreds and hundreds of thousands, potentially millions of people did not get the correct medical care through the lockdown periods. And that has led to this medical time bomb. So now what you're getting is huge numbers of excess deaths relating to people who never got the correct cancer care, that never got their correct diagnosis, that never got looked after properly during COVID. So you're going to have all of these problems on top of the cold, on top of people who are going to be dying because of everything else we've just mentioned. So I think this could be, you know, if it's a cold Christmas this year, it could be a really dark Christmas. It could be a Christmas that's not remembered for everyone being like, wow, COVID's over, back to normal, everyone's going to have a cracking time. It could be remembered as that Christmas where a lot of people died and a lot of people suffered serious discomfort because of a range of different things, some of which pertain to 2 years of punishing lockdown, and some of which pertain to this support for a fratricidal and completely unnecessary war in a country which most people in Britain probably couldn't even point out on a map. And when you put it into that perspective, it makes it even more insane even happening. But it's okay for politicians, because these politicians, they voted themselves all a £2,000 pay rise this year, probably more than that, I think it's maybe, two and a half grand pay rise, something like that. So they're going to be fine this Christmas. They're not going to be the ones suffering. They're not going to be the ones freezing to death. They're not going to be the ones telling their children that they can't put the heating on. You know, sort yourself out. We're not putting the heating on in this house. That's not going to be the cry in the homes of politicians. It's going to be us that's going to be suffering. And I think when you look at all this, and then you throw in other problems. So they're talking about rolling blackouts. They're talking about a situation where people are going to be told, you know, your neighbourhood will be having a blackout, you know, Tuesday, 7 p.m. till 10 o'clock, you will have no power. And that's on top of all the other problems. And I'll tell you this now. If you've got a power cut, you're not just losing your TV and your lights. You're not just using your electricity. Even if you've got gas heating, your pilot light will go out. And once that goes out, that means your house isn't heated anymore. So on top of everything I've just said, they're talking about rolling blackouts. And again, this is all linked to, obviously, the conflict in Ukraine. And I look at this, Patrick, and I think to myself, if we lived in different times, would there be a revolution? Because in European, and I'm not advocating for violence. Right. I'm certainly not. I'm not advocating that anyone goes out and does anything silly. I'm advocating that people work together for peaceful political change and for community building and for bringing people together to advocate for a better world. But what I'm saying is, everything I've just said, in times gone by, that would be enough for people to be on the streets. That would be enough for revolution to be in the air if politicians had mismanaged things this badly, you know, a few hundred years ago, maybe even decades ago. But now, not only is that not in the air, you can't even get people off their bums to actually go out and protest against this or even commit to not voting for the same gang of useless traitors.
You know, I'm not aware of a single protest that's gotten any news. I'm not aware of a single protest against the war in Ukraine in the United States. I'm not aware of a single one. It's just not happening. And, you know, you'll have Donald Trump, he'll have his rallies, and he'll say how this would never have happened if he was president. But even then, it's not really a criticism so much of the, it's not a criticism. It's just kind of bravado on his part, and people are welcome to listen to that and interpret it as if that because he's such a tough guy, Putin would have never dared his evil deeds. He would have never done his evil deeds with Donald Trump in office, and it's not really a direct criticism. Policymakers, it's a stupid thing to do. I mean, the implication, people are free to infer that what he means is that the Biden wasn't tough enough. You know, of course, that's not necessarily what he means. He's never clear about what he means. But there's no pushback. I have one question, because, you know, you've talked
about... No, I'm really interested. Before you ask anything, I think what you've said there, Patrick, is so important, and you've sort of hit the nail on the head, that Trump, who's this guy who's desperate to get back into office, and the best thing he can really offer up at this point is, well, it wouldn't have happened if I was there, but he's not exactly saying what would have happened if he was there, or why it would have happened with him being there. And those things are important things to actually offer up, aren't they? I mean, fundamentally, why would it be different? And if you did things differently, why would you be doing them differently? What was the actual problem? You know, it's easy for somebody to turn around and say, well, you know, if I was in charge, you know, this wouldn't have happened, but why? Why and how? And I don't think Trump can say that. And I think Trump's got himself now, in multiple ways, in possibly the worst situation he's ever been in politically. Because he can't actually even say what his base wants him to say, can he?
No.
Because I can imagine most of his base would actually be people who admire Putin in one way or another.
Or if nothing else, just people who don't care about what's going on over there, who just don't want to see a lot of their, what they perceive as their tax money just being sent off to some black hole in Ukraine.
Or maybe, Patrick, and this is a radical thought, but maybe, just maybe, they're normal people who want to have a good Christmas and be warm and put presents under the tree and spend time with their loved ones without any restrictions for a year. You know, maybe they're just regular folk that just want to hear a politician say, look, this is not our war, this is not our conflict, this is not in the interest of the American people. We need to prioritize the problems here at home because this is America first. Maybe people just, you know, and that's a radical thing, isn't it? That somebody should just come out and say that. But he won't say that. And I think as much as Trump has done some good things for this, for the movement, or for, you know, as much as he's done some good things, he seems just unbelievably unable at any point to cast that killer blow or really say what needs to be saying. It's very sad. I think it's very sad.
Well, it's sad. And, you know, he can say this never would have happened. And certainly the what first attracted me to Donald Trump, and I came out and I endorsed Trump for president in August 2015. It was August 2015, about 6 weeks after he declared. And it was that he had made very, very unambiguous statements that he would like to improve relations with Russia. I thought that was a big enough deal that, despite the fact I never liked him, that I would support him. It was a big enough deal. That's right. It's a big deal. And yet, was he able to improve relations with Russia? He wanted to. He clearly wanted to. He had a summit meeting and gave Putin a soccer ball or something, and they seemed to get along just fine at the summit meeting. But then he was attacked. It was called treason by a former CIA director, John Brennan. He was just lambasted, and he was manipulated into then increasing sanctions on Russia. So instead of saying, look, these people are crazy, you know, there's no reason for us not to get along with Russia, he said, look, no president's ever been tougher on Russia than Donald Trump. And that's not what he was elected to do. And, you know, you can say the same thing about the COVID stuff. Clearly, he didn't want to to stop his economic train in order to fight COVID. He was downplaying it in February and March, but he got manipulated. In both cases, he got completely manipulated. He got manipulated into being tougher on Vladimir Putin than any president ever. And then he got manipulated into this Operation Warp Speed. And while the lockdowns in America were not done on a federal basis, he didn't use whatever powers he had to stop the lockdowns that were happening on a state basis. He was very, very easily manipulated as a president, for, you know, a variety of reasons. Do you think I know that you're not going full lockdown, COVID lockdowns in Britain anymore. And I guess a lot of it was because there was the new thing, the Russia thing. And so how much trauma can you inflict on a population at once? I wanted to see if you can confirm that's the case. And then there's also, I wonder if you're familiar with this resolution or proposal in Oxford. I think it was in Oxford, that people not be allowed to, that that their movements be restricted, that maybe if they're going to leave their 15-minute zone, they have to apply for a permit to leave.
Yeah, climate lockdowns. They want to start trialing climate lockdowns in Oxford. I've heard about this. It's absolutely insane. And that appears to be the next step. Now, when people start...
They're doing it for climate. I mean, I would wonder if, like, at this point, rather than doing it for climate, they might start rolling it out for, you know, saving fuel to keep warm. But they're even explicitly for climate.
This is something that they're planning, and they're calling it a climate lockdown. And I'll tell you this now. This idea of a climate lockdown is, again, it's another one of these things that not so long ago, you know, if you and I had been talking about this on your show or on David's show or, you know, and people would have been listening to us, they'd have been like, oh, God, listen to those nutters. Listen to them and their little silly conspiracy theories. You know, here they are talking about, you know, something that will never happen. You know, climate lockdowns as if. But yeah, they're trialing it now. And the problem is, and this is the problem, once these things start happening, once these things begin to take place, they almost get a momentum. And at that point, there's no stopping it. And it's kind of like with the COVID lockdowns, because that's pretty much what happened there, wasn't it? Once they got that momentum and they started rolling out those lockdowns, it seemed to get easier and easier to roll out those lockdowns. And as it got easier and easier to roll out the lockdowns, more and more people went along with it, until eventually it was just what they wanted it to be, which of course was the new normal. And I think if they can, they will do the same with the climate stuff as well. If they can, they will bring that in. So that's, again, the new normal. So that everyone's like, well, it's just one of those climate locks, something we've all got to live with. Come on, everybody muck in. Let's see a bit of that British spirit. Let's all hunker down. And people will just accept it. And you have to start wondering how this, again, I said earlier, at one, and I'm not advocating revolution, but these politicians are granting themselves the power that would have, the sort of power that would have made, you know, medieval kings blush. Medieval kings wouldn't have dreamt about doing this to their people. They'd have been like, we'll never get away with this. It's madness.
Maybe not in Britain. Did Britain ever have serfdom? But yeah, this would be serfdom. You're not allowed to leave your immediate area. You're tied to the land. I mean, it would be a literal serfdom. But I have to wonder.
But if you look, when you look at serfdom, when you look at the peasantry in places like Britain, you look at a standard, you know, peasant's house, and you look at the living space they had. In many ways, they actually had more space and more freedoms than people are going to end up having here now. When you look at the sort of, you know, the cupboards basically that people are going to be living in, they're going to be living in cupboards, they're going to be living in bunks, you know, they're not going to own anything, they're going to be living in these massively overcrowded cities where they pay through their nose just for a tiny little space. And you're going to get to a point where the life of a medieval peasant will look like a life of freedom compared to the life that the average Brit has today. And that's not hyperbole. That's not me trying to scare people. That is just a grim reality of where things are going, where people aren't allowed. You know, can we check your climate pass, please, mate? Where's your climate pass? I'm sorry, I've left it at home. What zone do you live in? I don't know. Right, off to see the magistrate in the morning, £200 fine, and 40 hours community service at the climate flag.
Mark, you know, you wonder about these people who are deciding to roll this out now. I mean, you've got a situation where people in Britain are in danger of literally freezing to death, and now you're going to trial run this kind of policy, we have to take away your freedoms. Otherwise, the climate might get warmer at a time when people are freezing to death. And what kind of timing is that? I think it's like these people can't help themselves, but how could you pick worse timing than a winter where people are freezing to death?
But you've also got this incredible shifting narrative, the sort of shifting sands of the COVID narrative. Not the COVID narrative, the crisis narrative is what I meant to say. You know, a few years ago, I remember when the big thing was the hole in the ozone layer. You must remember that. It was the hole in the ozone. When we were kids, it was the hole in the ozone layer. And if we didn't...
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Years ago, I remember when the big thing was the hole in the ozone layer. You must remember that. It was the hole in the ozone. When we were kids, it was the hole in the ozone layer. And if we didn't, fix the hole in the ozone layer, we were all going to be dead. And everything was about this thing called CFC gases. CFC gases. You never ever stopped hearing about CFCs. You know, we've got to we've got to reduce our CFC consumption. The hole in the ozone layer is growing. We're all going to be dead. And it was just relentless. Mm-hmm. And that never really came to pass. Then
the CFCs started being substituted out. That was something where actually there was a viable alternative in a way that there just simply isn't on any kind of near-term scale with CO2.
No, but what I was saying with that was this big thing that everyone bought into. The next big thing was that the ice sheets were melting, and the predictions were that half of Britain was going to be underwater by like 2010, and everyone was panicking. You know, by the time we get to 2010, you'll be swimming to school or paddling to school. And that never happened. And there's been so many of these predictions, these doomsday predictions that never come to pass. And it seems to have gone so far that now these doomsday predictions are just ingrained in people's minds. Mm-hmm. And people are now willing to give up their freedoms over these things. They live in a state of fear. And at that point, you have to ask yourself something, Patrick. We're not living like we used to, sort of in medieval times, in fear of the king and his troops. We're living in this media-induced fear that controls us in a much, much more effective way, where people will self-censor, change their attitudes, they will alter the way they behave, they'll stay locked in their home, because that little flashing box in the corner of the room has told them about the big scary boogeyman outside their house, that if they do whatever they're not allowed to do, it'll embolden and strengthen the boogeyman. So stay indoors and be a good guy. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we are approaching the end of our time. Not here on Earth. I mean, at the end of our program.
Mark's got a bit of a cough today. We're approaching the end of our time, so we're going to be putting him out of his misery by killing him at the end of the show. Is that what you're saying, Patrick?
No, well, that's not what I'm saying. But
we're not killing Mark at the end of the show.
Well, okay. So I'm not saying it's end times. I am stop arguing with people, stopping to argue with people. No, I'm not stopping to argue. I am no longer arguing with people who do say it's end times, though. I will say that much. I don't personally think it's end times, but I'm not arguing the point anymore. But thank you so much for joining me, Mark.
As always, Patrick, it's the only way to start your week. Thank you so much for having me on. And I hope everyone out there stays warm and has a great Christmas. But we do have one more show before Christmas. I take it we're recording on the 19th next week.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
That will be the last show before Christmas. Wonderful.
Right. And also, I usually don't say this at the end of the shows, but check out Mark's excellent content, which you can find. Where's the best place to find your excellent content?
The best place, if it's in video format, is on Odyssey. And if you want my sort of little daily updates, you can grab them on Gab or Telegram. And, find me there. It's greatly appreciated. Thank you for letting people know.
Okay, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.